friends, to another recording session of Freedom Law School's weekly Freedom Hour. I'm Payman Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School since 1996. And yes, my hat does say taxation is theft. And therefore, Freedom Law School is here to help you to stop the stealing of your money, especially those that is not even a tax law that requires you to pay the tax in the first place. So tonight I'm going to cover the third victory of the of Freedom Law School against the IRS. There's more coming that I've had over the almost three decades challenging the IRS. But this is especially an interesting one because IRS started looking at me promoting an abusive tax shelter promotion. Who knows when? 2001, perhaps? But in 2003, they started. And after 13 years, they finally gave up. A long time is 13 years. So it was a fun little exchange. It's going to be a little bit longer because I think some of you will like the seed exchange. Although you can read it on our website also. It's all there. But for those of you who prefer to hear it, I'll read it for you. So with that, we can go ahead and get started, guys. Oh, by the way, before I forget, next week, before New Year's, the presentation will be on remembering the great tax freedom champion, the late Irwin Schiff. You know, he is really, you know, the biggest pioneer of the freedom of American people from income taxes that we legally do not owe to the federal government. And yes, he is the father of that Peter Schiff that many of you know, the gold dealer and the investment advisor, that is his father. And so I've known of Irwin way back going to 1996, 19 years before he passed away, 2015. So I'll talk about him as a remembrance for him. And let's get on with tonight's program about how the IRS was beaten by the IRS in this investigation, how you can do the same things, folks. Race, get started, guys. Yeah, this is a book by Irwin Schiff, by the way, folks. The Federal Mafia. Yep. His last book. Let's do it.
Start the recording in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, my friends. I am Payman Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School since 1996. And in this presentation, I'm going to share with you the third victory of Freedom Law School over the IRS. IRS, after a 13-year investigation, could not find anything wrong with Freedom Law School teachings or activities. And it's all on Freedom Law School's website at livefreenow.org. Let's go there. And you go on the top to victories. On the victories down menu items, the first one is Freedom Law School victories over the IRS. You open that link, and then when you go there, you scroll down, we are going to be talking about victory number 3. Now, it comes up usually. Here it is. Basically, this is the introduction, that the IRS has conceded being defeated by Freedom Law School, and the victory letter is next, coming up. I'm going to open that for you by a lady named Roma Patel. Here it is on the top left. IRS office in San Diego, California, on the top right, dated July 11, 2016. And you see below that, Roma Patel is the person to contact. And you go down to the actual letter. The first paragraph of the letter says to me, Mr. Motahede, we, the IRS, are let me zoom for you a little bit more, folks. Here we go. We are discontinuing our investigation into whether you are liable for penalty under Internal Revenue Code sections, blah, 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 blah. So basically, the IRS is saying in a coy way, you know, we couldn't find anything wrong with what you're doing. But since they don't want to admit that they have looked at Freedom Law School so closely for a long time, 13 years at least that I know of, they're just putting it very mildly. And here's the next sentence they add to cover their butts. You know, here's what they say. This letter should not be construed to mean that the Internal Revenue Service approves for conduct. Rather, it is simply a notice that our investigation has been discontinued at this time. So it doesn't mean the IRS approves my conduct. Well, I never asked for the FBI, CIA, DOJ, Forest Service, or the IRS's approval. Who is their approval for my speech and my activities, right? But basically, this is a letter saying we can't find anything wrong with what you're doing. Now, this is the 2016. Remember, folks, it goes back way to 2013 when it was first started. We're going to go back to that because, you see, if you go at the bottom to see how this case started, you can click on this link down here, and that shows the exchange, how the whole thing started, and it takes you to this page. Here we go. With this heading, IRS was beat without going to court. I explain this whole process in a summary format for those of you who would like to read it. It is explained here in a summary. And then after giving this summary overview, I identify each of the exchange letters that I've had with the IRS and back and forth. It started with this letter, April 16, 2003, the IRS sent to me. That's how it all got started. Let me zoom on this a little bit more, perhaps. Here we go. Make it a little bit bigger for you guys. So there we go. That's better. Okay. And then I responded back to the IRS on May 14, 2003, less than a month later to the IRS's letter. And then the next day, before the IRS read my letter, they changed gears. And on May 15th of 2003, IRS summoned me to come and meet with the IRS and produce a bunch of books and records. Of course, I responded back to the IRS on May 29, 2003. And then the IRS responded to me June 25th, 2003. And then this 2003 letter was IRS's retreat letter. IRS actually backed off. At that point, folks, I did not hear from the IRS for, 13 years, okay? So I'm going to you can read it here. Rather than doing this, I'm just going to go to the letters, okay, for you to see, okay? So here it is. This is the first letter that was sent to me. From here, you see Department of the Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, and on the top left, April 16, 2003. On the top right, person to contact, M. Steberg. Marilyn Steberg is her name, in Santa Ana, California. And on the top right, it shows date and time of examination to be May 15, 2003. And the letter starts by having this canned language, folks. I'm going to come back to this canned language. Okay, focus on this. Dear Mr. Motahede, we have reviewed certain materials with respect to your tax shelter promotions, including but not limited to Freedom Law School and related promotions. We are considering possible action under sections blah, 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 blah of the Internal Revenue Code. These sections relate to penalties and injunctions for aiding and abetting in the understatement of tax liabilities and or for promoting abusive tax shelters. So, wow, that's pretty serious, folks, right? Here they are. They are looking to maybe imposing penalties and injunctions against me. What's an injunction? They go to court, and the court says, stop, freeze right now from doing what you're doing Now, and they successfully arrested that, folks, against dozens and dozens of tax freedom, tax honesty groups throughout the United States. I saw starting back in 2001, they did that to many, many organizations. And they went to court and got an injunction, stop what you're doing, and impose sometimes $100,000 or more penalties on these organizations. They forced them to give the whole mailing list of the people that they're in touch with, okay, their members, supporters, anybody on their mailing list, and on their website to put a copy of the court order, the injunction, that, hey, this guy has been told by the court that he's been prohibited from promoting his abusive acts shelter. Here's a copy of the court order that you must post on the front page of your website. So your so-called customers know, oh, this guy is a badass. He is selling abusive tax shelters. I better stay away from this guy. Okay? So that's what they're talking about here, okay? So the next paragraph says, we have scheduled a meeting for May 15, 2003 in the office in Santa Ana, California. And it says, second sentence here, third sentence, no extension of time will be granted for this meeting. Wow. No extension may be granted. However, an earlier date may be considered. Oh, my gosh. I must be shaking in my boots. Oh, gosh. Well, that's pretty quick, right? April 16th, May 15th, less than a month. I can be early but not late. No extensions? Whoa, right? And then next paragraph says, please, all documents you would like us to consider in determining whether penalties and or injunction are appropriate, okay? In addition, please bring to the conference all items listed in the enclosed information document request. Wow, I got to bring lots of stuff with me. And please be advised that we may make photocopies of any documents you provide. Now, wow. So they want me to bring a bunch of stuff, and you're going to make a copy, and it's signed by Frank Nixon. Frank Nixon, folks, is area director of IRS's Laguna Niguel office in Laguna Niguel, California. That's it. Some of you from Orange County, California know it's a big ziggurat. It's a big pyramid building. And I've been there. You know, it's a big federal office. It's one of the 10 biggest IRS offices in the whole USA. It has a lot of responsibilities because it's a big office. And this letter, folks, was actually hand-signed by Frank Nixon here. I should probably blue copy that here. And then you see, after a bunch of other garbage nonsense they attach to it, here is the document request they want. The following information document request applies to the following. Paymon Montahede, any entity for which Paymon Montahede is a promoter, founder, officer, trustee, or partner. The Freedom Church, the Freedom Law School, the American Justice Foundation, any entity, plan, or arrangement created through, by, or on behalf of the Freedom Church, the Freedom Law School, and or the American Justice Foundation. Freedom dollars, you know. And hereinafter, the aforementioned individuals and entities will be referred to as the promotion. See, they started labeling, insulting, as a matter of course. That's how arrogant these guys are. Okay. And then whenever there is a request for documentation, please provide complete copies of any and all documentation requested, whether it be kept as a hard copy or as an electronic record, report, or data file, whether stored on hard disk, floppy disk, mini disk, zip drive, jazz drive, magnetic tape, CDR, CDRW, server, or any other medium. Whoa. I mean, how humble, aren't they? bring everything about your life, you know, because the master has called upon you. See, that's the attitude. And these people are just so arrogant. I mean, but these people, folks, are nothing. They're off the street, folks. They have no power over you unless you give it to them. You got to have the attitude that you are their boss, because you are their boss. They work for you. They're public servants. So you are the public masters of these servants. You are the masters of these servants, right? And so they got, in this thing now, name and title request of Marilyn Steberg. So basically, then what they're saying here, Fang Nixon, meet with her, okay? And they just add more stuff, you know, on this document request. You can just read it on our website, on and on and on, everything they're asking you. Like, you have to give them all these things they want. So what happened, folks, is I wrote back. Look at this page after page of detailed description of all the stuff they want. Well, you know what, folks? No problem. I responded to them. I responded to them with a request for answers and clarification to Marilyn Steberg in Santa Ana, California. In response to an April 16, 2003 letter of her area director, Frank Nixon, the head honcho wrote to me and says, see my little girl here, Marilyn Steberg. Talk to her. Okay. So the letter starts, dear Ms. Steberg, I am in receipt of a letter dated April 16, 2003 from your area director, Frank P. Nixon, hereafter to IRS letter, which mentions you as a person for me to contact. I am writing you to get some answers and clarification about the meeting that you have scheduled for me. I have stated each of my questions in bold letters to make it easy for the folks. And also, I use bigger font, as you can say. See, so basically, first, I quote the IRS's mission statement, you know, that they want to provide America's taxpayers top quality service by helping them understand and meet their tax responsibilities and by applying the tax law with integrity and fairness to all. Okay, well, really? Well, let's see. I want you to help me understand how a request for a meeting might relate to any of my tax responsibilities. Is that a fair request? Right? And I remind IRS of their guiding principles of the IRS, okay, which claims that the IRS must do the above by fostering open, honest communications. Well, so I tell them, folks, I'm trying to have an open and honest communication with the IRS. Can I expect the same from you? Well, and again, I quote from them, from the guiding principles of the IRS further, you know, that that they'll do the above by insisting on total integrity. Wow. Integrity from the IRS, folks. Isn't that an oxymoron, right? So I asked him about, can I expect total integrity from you? I certainly hope so. I believe that with open and honest communications and total integrity, we can accomplish what we need to get done, whatever that may be. I go to the letter, basically. He said, look, your letter states this, that we, the IRS, have reviewed certain materials with respect to your tax shelter promotions, including but not limited to Freedom Law School and related promotions, okay? And I tell them, look, I do not have a tax shelter, okay? I do not promote a tax shelter. And her letter clearly states, assumes and concludes that I have a tax shelter that I'm promoting. And I let her know, look, the IRS letter goes on to state that the IRS may issue pre-file notification letters to participants to have participated in the above promotions. And I ask them, what is this pre-filing language? What do they mean? Clarify what you are talking about. Then I ask about her letter that says we have scheduled a meeting for May 15, 2003, okay, and that no extension of time will be granted for this meeting, right? I'll ask them about that. And I tell them straight out, look, that the letter does not state the purpose of this proposed meeting. What are we supposed to go get together for? Really, what's the purpose? What is supposed to be our goal or aim to accomplish at this proposed meeting? Is it just a fishing expedition by the IRS? Because the IRS have already assumed and concluded that I am promoting a tax shelter. So the question is, if the IRS has already made up their minds about me, then what is the use or purpose of our meeting? Folks, they already said I'm an abusive tax shelter promoter, right? What's the point? What's the point? They already said I'm a tax shelter promoter. So you can have a right to ask questions, right? So then I'll let them know, look, I'm not afraid of these guys, that I am willing to meet with her at the appropriate time and location. However, without her explaining to me what we are meeting for, I will not be able to prepare for such a meeting. So to understand what's going on, I asked her, under the authority of what statute, code, and or regulation has she scheduled this meeting with me, right? So I can study the law that applies. Under the authority of what statute, code, or regulation has she chosen not to allow any legitimate postponement of this meeting, right? I mean, that's ridiculous. You cannot postpone a meeting for any reason whatsoever. And what will be the consequence, if any, of my meeting or not meeting with her, right? She presumes that I must meet with her like I'm her slave, like she owns me. Mama, daddy called you, little boy. Well, who does she think she is? Folks, these IRS people are not God. Don't treat them as such. You have more power, far more than them, if you just have the attitude and the knowledge. Attitude, that you are the master, and the knowledge. Okay? So I respond back saying, continue saying, if the meeting is an audit, I've never heard of an audit that could not be rescheduled for a legitimate reason. Do you know of any such kind of an audit? If so, please tell me, is this meeting an audit? Then I ask her, is this meeting a summons? Okay. Well, if so, Section 7605 of the Internal Revenue Code states that the time and place of summons shall be as are reasonable under the circumstances. Okay? So, if a meeting can be reasonable under circumstances, time and place, why does her letter, you know, has an unreasonable insistence that no extension of time, because it flies in the face of Section 7605 and reason and fairness, right? So here, I'm kind of, you know, going over, you know, that in the first sentence, her letter assumes and concludes that I have a tax shelter promotion. Then she seems to have her mind made up and determined that I have a tax shelter that I'm promoting. And her letter does not say, we believe you might be promoting a tax shelter. It unequivocally assumes and concludes that I have a tax shelter that I am promoting. See, this is the jumping the gun and making summary conclusions. I tell them this is the kind of pain my relative suffered in Iran under the so-called Islamic Republic of Iran government. The authorities in Iran had summarily, based on unknown information, concluded that since my relatives like me were born and raised as Jews, that they must be Zionist spies. Folks, that did happen to one of my relatives. And he was tortured, by the way. Okay, these summary conclusions they do. You know, that kind of attitude coming to America, just you're anti-government, extremist, anti-royalist, anti-this, this terrible guy you are. Right? So, and I told him based on my such summary conclusions, some of my relatives were tortured and executed by running government authorities. What kind of actions you might take against me based on your summary conclusions that I promote a tax shelter, right? That's a fair question, isn't it? And I'd let her know that to this day, some of my relatives and other Jews in Iran are from time to time persecuted by authorities in Iran, by authorities who assume and conclude that they are Zionist spies and then put the burden of proving their innocence on the Jew. See, folks, you in America are presumed innocent. You don't have to prove your innocence. It's up to the government to prove any guilt that they believe you may have. But here, they want to turn the table around. You come show us that you're innocent. It's a bunch of nonsense. Okay? So I point out that her letter unfortunately places me in such a position, and that I remind her that her letter does not say we have reviewed certain material with respect to what maybe might be or are promoting. Her letter with very certain terms assumes and concludes that I am promoting a tax shelter by stating we have results with respect to your tax shelter promotions. See, folks, I'm not going to let these guys off the hook of their nonsense. I'm nailing them down to their coffin. That is nonsense, just throw at you. And you got to do the same thing with them when they come up with these baseless assumptions, right? And then so I ask her, now you expect me to show up to a meeting with you, will not be rescheduled, and without knowing what type of meeting this is? What is the purpose of this meeting? What documents, witnesses, statements, agents, notes, or other evidence you have in your possession that makes you conclude that I am promoting a tax shelter? What will be the consequence? Am I showing up or not showing up to the meeting? Okay. So, and I'll let her know that, as she probably knows, on April 30th, I sent a Privacy Act and FOIA Act request, Freedom of Information Act request, to the IRS's disclosure office to find out what this meeting is all about and what kind of evidence they have gathered and reviewed to make their summary conclusion that I am promoting a tax shelter. Yep, see? And I ended by saying that I expect, per the guiding principles of the IRS, that you will fully cooperate with the disclosure office of the IRS and give me a copy of all the documents that I have requested. After receiving the documents and you answering the simple and reasonable questions that I have posed to you in this letter, I will be happy to meet with you in a mutually agreeable time and location. Right? So, folks, kill them with kindness. Be nice. But be direct. Be on point. On point, and know you are the boss, not them. Okay? Now, what happened here is the next day, IRS issued a letter. This was, letter was May 14th. May 15th, IRS issues this summons to me, Payma Matayade. And you go on there, you see the bottom of it, that it was issued by her to meet with me and her in Santa Ana on June 2nd, 2003. On May 15th, she issued, 2003, she issued this summons. And then in the summons, you go down, have a bunch of pages, and again, she has the same long document request for information. Anything and everything about you or any entity of any sort you might be related to. And look at this, folks. Look at number 7. She wants information about Freedom Dollars. Freedom Dollars? Folks, what the heck is Freedom Dollars? I have never even heard of such a thing as Freedom Dollars. Yet, she's asking me to give her information about, look at here, number 7, Freedom Dollars, a non-existent thing. So, I reply back to her, to Marilyn Steberg again. Here it is, good old Marilyn, on May 29, 2003. Okay? And about the June 2nd, 2003 summons that she sent me. Okay? And I let her know from the get-go that I am received of the summons that, you know, that was sent to me on May 19, 2003, hand delivered to my residence in Phelan, California, about 80 miles away from her office. to appear in office on June 2nd, 2003. How that, folks? The IRS wastes the agent's time to drive all the way to my house, round trip 80 miles, to give me the summons. Like they got nothing better to do with American people's tax dollars that they collect by deception and force, right? So I'll let them know from the get-go. I'm not afraid of them. I am willing to meet with her. That's not a problem. However, her actions leave me in much confusion as to what this is all about. So I ask her to clarify what is going on, and that way I will be better able to assist her in a matter at hand. Okay? So I ask her some questions, and I go over this nonsense that they're doing. What should they do? Folks don't even know what they're doing. First, on April 16, 2003, here, area director sends me a hand-signed, not computer-generated letter in which asked me to meet with her on May 15, 2003. Then, in response, on April 30th, I sent a privacy act for your request to IRS disclosure office and to see what they're talking about. And then I also sent a letter to her May 14, 2003, okay, and in which I ask a few questions about the nature and purpose of her proposed May 15, 2003 meeting, okay. What happened, folks, is that their disclosure office of the IRS, by relying on completely frivolous objections, refused to give me anything, okay, and the IRS's Washington, D.C. office did not even acknowledge the receipt of my letter, okay. And she did not answer any of my simple questions. Talk about arrogance, folks, or stupidity. You choose. So instead of giving me some simple clarifications, she and her associate of hers, two other IRS agents, drove 80 miles from their office to hand me, deliver a summons to me at my home in Phelan. Okay? So I asked her, will you try to get out of the cooped up cubicle of your stat at office and get some fresh, smog-free air? Or do you have valid reasons for not taking a few minutes to type up a clarification letter instead of taking 3 hours to drive back and forth to my residence to hand deliver me a summons? Folks, these are wasting people's time and money, folks. They going for a fresh air for an excuse to drive, get out of smog LA area, Orange County to high desert where I was, no smog, just to hand deliver me a letter. Why not just write me a letter back? Okay. So I'll let them know that this is confusing as to what's going on. And what I'm wondering. So the IRS letter said that date of May 15th meeting will not be extended. Okay? And in my response letter, I asked if the May 15th meeting is an audit summons or some other kind of a meeting. And she did not even answer that simple question. Right? And said on that May 15th date, folks, she issued a summons to appear before her on June 2nd. Okay? So this is confusing. Wouldn't it be confusing to you, folks? Sure, of course it is. So I ask her, does this June 15th, 2003 summons replace the May 15th, 2003 meeting? Was the May 15th, 2003 meeting a summons too? Or was it an audit? More importantly, should I forget about her May 15th meeting and the IRS letter that her area director, Frank Nixon, sent me? You know? So I ask a little bit more, you know, because, you know, here the meeting could not be continued for any reason. May 15th was setting rocks. Now it's gone away and there's a summons instead for some June 2nd date. So anyhow, I'll go talk about this a little bit more in this letter. And then what happens is finally she responds to me on June 25th. She needs over a month to respond to my letter. Now this time the letter she writes is not a canned letter. No, no, no. She actually has to sit down and think and type an answer. And does she answer my questions? Anything on point? You be the judge. And June 25th, 2003, again on the top right, you see Marilyn Steberg, IRS of Santa Ana office, writes to me and thanks me and says, you know, thank you for your letters and for taking the time to talk to us on June 5th, 2003. Because I did call her, by the way. Oh, yeah, I talked to her. No problem. I'm not afraid of her. As you requested, I would like to take this opportunity to answer some of your questions in writing. Okay? So, and then she says, before I turn to your inquiries, I would like to let you know that we are willing to meet with you at your convenience on a mutually agreed upon date and time at the Office of Internal Revenue Service, 290 North D Street, Santa Bernardino, California. By moving the appointment to this location, it will make it closer to your address, but still remain at an IRS office. As we discussed on the 5th, we are not amenable to your request to video record the meeting. Tape recorders and court reporters are perfectly acceptable, but videotape is not. In addition, please be aware that we intend to have a court reporter present at the meeting to document our discussion. You're welcome to have your own reporter, but we will be happy to give you a copy of the transcript produced by a reporter we hire. In other words, folks, these people don't want to be seen on camera. Their faces, they don't want you to know what they look like. They want to hide. No video. Why? Aren't they a powerful IRS? Why are they afraid of us? So finally, she gets to some of my questions on my May 29th letter. She says, I will address your concern as to whether summons you were served replaces our informal request for documents and a meeting. As the date of the informal meeting has passed, the answer to your question is yes. We have moved forward to a formal request for documents and a meeting with you to discuss your involvement with the Freedom Law School, etc. As such, we expect you to present us with copies of the information we requested in our summons and to answer questions related to what information and the organizations listed therein. If you do not meet with us and provide us with the information, we will have no other recourse but to proceed formally to enforce this summons. You ask whether this is an audit summons or some other kind of meeting. The purpose of the meeting and summons is not an audit of your individual return. Folks, this is important, folks. They're admitting there's no tax return being audited. Summons are for purpose of gathering criminal investigation or auditing a tax return. They can willy-nilly just issue a summons for any reason. But that's what they're trying to do here. The purpose of the meeting and the summons is not an audit of your individual tax return. Rather, the IRS is conducting an investigation into your involvement with the Freedom Law School and into your activities as a promoter of tax shelters, if, in fact, you are promoting tax shelters. The meeting was requested to provide you with an opportunity to demonstrate that you are not promoting an illegal tax shelter. Wow, how nice of them. They're so kind. They gave me the opportunity to bring my whole life in front of them and prove to them that I'm kosher. I've done nothing illegal. Prove my innocence. Isn't that lovely? That your government give you that chance to come and prove your innocence? Your land is free, home of the brave. Let's continue on the end of the third line. The best way for you to do that, if you're not promoting an illegal tax shelter, is to provide us with the information we have requested and fully cooperate. That being said, we know that you have not filed an income tax return since 1991. That is true. Yep, have not filed, folks. Regular income tax return, actually, she's wrong about that. The last time I filed a tax return was in 1989 with my ex-wife. I did not file one in 1990 or 1991. So she's wrong about that too, by the way. Okay? We encourage you to file your returns and declare all your income as defined under IRC Section 61. If you do not file returns, the Internal Revenue Service can take steps to determine your gross income, file returns for you, and collect any tax that you owe. Okay, fine, whatever. I understand that you are concerned. Oh, this is the point now. This is where they start admitting their mistakes, Molly, because I got at them like a bulldog. Wouldn't let go. She has to get to the important point. I understand that you're concerned of that. We have already made a determination that you are a promoter of illegal tax shelters. This is not true. We have simply found sufficient information on the internet to indicate that you maybe, she underlined the word maybe on her own, maybe promoting illegal tax shelters, and that determination is sufficient to warrant further investigation. If we find during the course of our investigation that this initial indication was incorrect, we will close the investigation without further action. Well, guess what? They did. After 13 more years, they closed it. The Trump-Russia conspiracy hoax took 3 years to investigate. FBI investigation, House of Representatives, and U.S. Senate for 3 years only. Well, with Freedom Law School, IRS is slower. It took 13 years to close the bogus investigation, right? And so she says, we want to thank you for pointing out that the impression we give in the statement, quote, we have received certain materials to your tax shelter promotions seems conclusive in that we have already determined that you are promoting tax shelters. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Fon, for being a little honesty. So she says, look at this, folks, the last sentence in this paragraph. We will review the standard language contained in Form 1844, determine whether it should be revised. Whoa, how do you like that, folks? How do you like that? IRS admits the letters to you are not some well thought out address to you one-on-one responses. They're simply canned, pre-formatted letters, faulty in many major ways. And nobody ever pointed out to them their faulty nonsense. I mean, I was the first guy apparently to tell them about this issue. Because everybody else, they took the did this, they took them to court and beat them. They never dared take me to court because they knew I beat them. That's why, you know, they eventually backed off, because if you go to court to beat them, that would be a much bigger embarrassment for the IRS. So, filing and letters. You also asked us about what pre-filing notification letters are. Recently, there has been a proliferation of individuals and entities who promote tax solutions which are legally incorrect. When these illegal tax solutions or shelters are discovered, the purchasers of such promotions are oftentimes liable for substantial tax deficiencies, penalties, and interest. Unfortunately, these clients are often misled by unscrupulous promoters into believing that their products are legal. The Internal Revenue Service has a duty to inform the clients of such promoters when it determines that a specific promotion is misleading or legally incorrect. When the IRS takes such action, taxpayers are properly appraised of the filing requirements and they can take the proper steps to stay within the provisions of the Internal Revenue Code. This is the purpose of pre-filing notifications. Finally, you ask whether you can expect open and honest communication and total integrity from the IRS. The answer is yes. The IRS, as always, tries to be honest, open, honest, and proceeds with integrity. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact Marilyn Steberg. She signs it. And guess what? After this, folks, you know what happened? I just ignored them. You want to take me to court? Go ahead. Take me to court. They know all of these letters. Okay, all this. We'll go before the judge. The judge will rule in my favor. This is nonsense. She abandoned the summons. And eventually, as you see, as I brought to your attention earlier, 16 years later, this is the result. July 11, 2016, on the top right, IRS of San Diego office, a new person on the top right, Roma Patel, she writes to me and tells me that the IRS is discontinuing IRS investigation into whether I am liable for penalty under these IRS code sections, you know, and doesn't mean the IRS approves of what I'm doing. But you can be sure IRS obviously has gone thoroughly through everything Freedom Law School does and cannot see anything wrong with it after a 13-plus year investigation. So you know you're dealing with a tested organization that knows what it's doing. And you can be free, just like me. If you plug in the Freedom Law School, let me be on your side. Let's work along with other freedom lovers in America together, folks, to restore freedom, folks. What you got to do is, if you haven't already, make sure you go to our front page first of Freedom Law School at livefreenow.org. You should start here, all of you. You should be sure to understand why, based on U.S. government's own official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file income tax. And the proof, folks, is in this 9-minute video right here. Listen to this in your car. I know you're too busy to watch. Listen to our videos in your car as you go to and from work, to and from shopping and other errands you're working out. Okay? Then you can watch it during dinner time or after dinner or something or lunch. Okay? Start with that process. This video will take you to other 5 other short videos. Okay? You click on this thing, automatically at the end, it'll take you to this short playlist of these 5 videos. These are all together 35 minutes, these videos, okay? On the right side, it comes up. See? Just watch all this. Will be all together only 35 minutes. That is your start. And then go on the Education Materials tab, okay? And Angel Filing and Tax Returns, IRS is Mostly Bluff. You know, click on these pages and read them and listen to them in your car. The videos on these pages, folks, listen to them in your car. Get your smartphone hooked up to your audio system of your car or one of these devices that attaches to your car. Let that smartphone make you smarter by watching these videos. Actually, no, sorry. Listen to them in your car. Later you can watch them at home, okay? And that's the start of your journey to freedom. I've been the IRS. You can be the IRS. You can do it on your own or have Freedom Law School help you. To do it on your own, folks, what you got to do is on our website, go to petitions, folks. Click on the top right. Click on petitions. That has the information on how to write petitions to congressmen, because that is a way for you to lawfully free yourself from the IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. You just ask the congressman, basically, to correct you if you're wrong. Send him the law as published on government's own official legal websites and ask him if I'm wrong, correct me, or stop the crooks and criminals in the Internal Revenue Service and a U.S. Department of Justice, double crooked lawyers, and triple crooked judges who are deliberately misapplying the law on American people. Sample petition or at the bottom of this page. You can click on them. It's there. Do it on your own for free. It's there, folks. Costs you zero to pay me, just some postage money and ink and paper. That's it. So do it yourself. And for those of you who say, "Pay my, I want to lawyer up. I already would like to get some help, support from you that know what you're doing. I'd like to have you have my back." Okay. That is also available at livefreedom.org. If you go down, you could have our $7 million guarantee. And I have a program to help you lawfully stop filing and pay income tax with our Royal Freedom Package. And Freedom Law School will keep the IRS from levying your money for 7 years minimum. Or Freedom Law School will reimburse you for up to $1 million, okay? You can check it out, click on it. There's more information. Do it for yourself. And I want to pay you up to $5,000, folks, with our Freedom Opportunity Program, okay? You get paid up to $5,000. We're going to add the number 5,000 on this page, right, guys? It's missing. $5,000 should be on this page, okay, for everybody to see. Now, here's the thing, folks. People ask me, I know, what happens after 7 years paying off? That's a good question. But the better question is this. Right now, your tax preparer, TurboTax, H&R Block, accountant, CPA, enrolled agent, tax lawyer, what kind of guarantee do they give you? Oh, crickets. Zero. Absolutely zero guarantee they give you, folks. None. It's like you buy a car from them and you drive off the lot, the engine and transmission fall out 200 yards down on the street. You're on your own. You bought as is. You want me to fix it? You got to pay me. Pay me hourly or some other attorney CPA on top of me to help you fix your car. Zero guarantee they give you. We are mostly gives you 7 years, $1 million. It's like getting the car with a 7-year warranty and 1 million miles. And you ask, oh, what comes after 7 years and 1 million miles? 7 year, 1 million miles, it gives you confidence that whoever is giving you the car knows what he's got. He's got a great car, right? And the other guy that gives you as is zero guarantee got garbage. These tax preparers are giving you garbage, and that puts you in danger. In fact, you can see it on our website, folks. You go on the education, go down to questions to ask your tax preparer. Open that link in a new tab, folks. These are the questions you should be asking anyone who proposes to do tax returns account for you. Accountant, CPA, and old agent, bookkeeper, I don't care. Tax attorney, ask them these questions. These guys get you simply in trouble. There's a video on it, on how to, on this topic right here. You can watch for yourself. And the questions are not very long. There's a part one and part two. That's it. It's not very long to show these guys actually set you up for prison, audit, harassment, stealing of your money by the IRS. By putting a rope around your neck, you pay them to put the rope around your neck with a 1040 tax form under the penalty of perjury on your oath and give it to the IRS to pull and yank you. You gave the IRS the power over you by filling out that 1040 tax confession form. That's why the very first education material all of you got to look at on our website is the danger of filing income tax returns, okay? You are twice as likely to be struck by lightning than be sent to prison for not filing 1040 tax confession forms, okay? And these forms are all signed under oath, under penalties of perjury. Little mistake, you're going to go to prison for up to 9 years, and even a U.S. tax court judge could not protect herself. Here is this lady, folks. You see her picture, Judge Krupa? She was a judge of tax court. She would not defend her tax 40, 1040 tax forms she filed. So, folks, do your homework. Educate yourself. Watch our videos. Read the law on government's own official websites. And you start your journey to freedom, folks. Why do I do this, folks? You know, I do this because I love people. I like to live and let live. And you deserve to have a life to live and let live. Why should anybody come and steal your money? Steal it from you, make you poor. Force you into credit card debt. Force you buying cheap garbage food because it's stolen from you. Based on deception, slavery, and robbery of you. I would love for you to live free, and I can live free, and we all be great friends. Just love and have a great time. Let's party. Let's laugh. Let's enjoy life. Why can't we just simply live free? Right? Enjoy. I don't bother you. You don't bother me. We all can be friends or not. That's fine, but we all live and let live. That's what I want for me and for you. And for you to have that, folks, do your homework, as I'm showing you here, and you will be free. So I give you my love, and I wish freedom for you by taking your time to educate yourself at Freedom Law School website, livefreenow.org. We forgot to have a timer on. How long was it? 48 minutes, I'm guessing? No, it's not. I didn't go on.
No, it was like 53 minutes.
Okay. I was close, 5 minutes off. I shoot a short version on this because the long one is too long. I need a short one for people so that give a quick overview of this this issue, because I think people need to see, and I'm not going to go over everything that I got here. I can't. It's too long, folks. But I need to give you guys, everybody, a short video about this, what it's all about. In a short video, I'm not going to go over a lot of stuff. I'm just going to kind of just summarily just show some of the letters maybe. And so people then will watch the long video, the presentation, and when you want to get them more detail about all this, okay? So let me close up a couple of things that are not necessary to have open, and then I'm gonna okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, time will be very helpful for me because I gotta make sure that. Okay, that's good.
So you're gonna have to let me know if it doesn't start. The noise indicator I have is that noise.
Oh, that noise. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna open up the tab. One more thing. I gotta open up one tab. I forgot to have on there. But with download, many for education materials, it's fixed now. Okay. Seems to be fixed now. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Let's do it. Ownership, his last book. The Federal Mafia, folks. That's what it becomes, sadly.
Recording in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, my friends. I am Peyman Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School since 1996. In this presentation, I'm going to give you a quick overview of the third victory of myself and Freedom Law School over the IRS. If you go to livefreedom.org, our website, and go on the top to under victories, Freedom Law School victories over the IRS is the first item there. You open it up, it takes you here. And you go down to victory number 3 is where it says in 2003-2016, Freedom Law School beats IRS's bogus claim of Freedom Law School paying on being abusive tax shelter promoter. You can click on the victory details here, and it gives you detail about what it is. And the first thing is a concession letter of the IRS that Freedom Law School is not an abusive tax shelter promoter right here from IRS's San Diego office here, dated on the top right, July 11, 2016, by Aroma Patel. And you scroll down on this letter, she writes to me, "Dear Mr. Motahede, we are discontinuing our investigation into whether you are liable for a penalty under Internal Revenue Code section, so on and so forth. This letter should not be construed to mean that the Internal Revenue Service approves your conduct. Rather, it simply is a notice that your investigation has been discontinued at this time." Why is this such a big deal? The reason this is such a big deal is because, folks, back in 2001, IRS started attacking dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of tax freedom-related organizations out there as an abusive tax shelter promoter. Dragging him into federal court, not criminally, not to put him in jail, but to before one federal district court judge, and had the judge rule that this guy is an abusive tax shelter promoter, and the judge would order the guy to put, first of all, to shut down. Don't do your organization anymore because you are found to be promoting abusive tax shelters. Okay? So not one to stop you, to put you out of any work or business you're doing. Two, they impose penalties on you, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars based upon number of people on your mailing list, which are assumed to be your customers, you know, and then penalize you per customer or someone on your mailing list, all these penalties. And then on your website, you have to put an order that you're a stop, you're got an injunction against you, that order on your front page of your website, so that anybody that comes to your website sees, ooh, this guy's been ruled against by the federal judge. He's a scammer. I should stay away from him. I don't want to be in trouble. Okay? And if you don't do that, any of those things, the court, the judge can find you in contempt or disobeying the court order and put you in federal prison. They did that successfully to over 100 organizations in 2001 and 2. Well, they didn't try with me. In 2003, they finally approached me to try to get me on that, but they couldn't because I've done nothing wrong and they know it. See, the fact that they would not even dare take me to court says a lot because they know if they take me to court and I beat them, that would be worse than me. They're simply just going away. So to see the initial investigation in 2003, that how it started, what you're going to do is on this dictionary page, there's a link right here. See how it all started in 2003, an exchange of letters between me and the IRS? You click here, okay? And when you do that, it takes you to this page. And on this page, you see a sample of the correspondence letter. After introduction, then you see the correspondence between me and the IRS that started on April 16, 2003, and ended June 25, 2003. So there's only five letters between me and the IRS. Actually, there's 6 months. And you can check it out for yourself in more detail. Or if you find out more how I did that, click in the description below or the box that comes up. Okay, the next video in the description. And there's going to be a 53-minute explanation of this in more detail. IRS has not tried to take me to court because they know they'll lose and they don't want to give me more publicity by coming after me knowing that I'll beat them. Instead, after 13 years, I finally gave up. And folks, you can be free as well, my friends. All you got to do is go to our website, folks, at livefreenow.org. Start from the front page that based on U.S. government's official website, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file income tax. And to see the proof of that, on your drive to and from work, you know, listen to this 9-minute video, okay? That's how you start living free with 9-minute video. And on our website, continue watching the speech and playlist, and you start living free. So go to livefreenow.org. Now, or the video, full video of this thing, and start living free now. 6 minutes. Let's go to questions then. What have we got, guys? Area code 505 caller, and another one from area code 808, right? Okay. Well, call from here, 505 from New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I assume you are right, my friend. Do not give me your last name. Just give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. Are you there? Call from area code 505 is not there. Let's go with the call from area code 808. Mm-hmm. Okay. Caller from Hawaii.
Hey, how you doing, Paimon?
Good.
My name is Kai.
How do you spell that?
K-H-A-I.
Okay. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Kai?
Well, through your website, but I was listening to Brent Johnson, the Freedom Voice of Freedom. So I was just interested in tech, so I went to your website.
From Brent Johnson?
Yes. Well, he didn't tell me, but basically, just talk to him and do some research. I was just curious. I joined YouTube type for like freedom for the tax purposes, and you came up, so that I was listening to your videos.
Well, Brent Johnson spoke at my annual Freedom Rally, I think about 17 years ago, 15 years ago. And I've
not
been in touch
with
him. Yeah. Have you talked to him?
I didn't know that. Yeah. No. He does a weekly conference call on Tuesday, but he's on Telegram. I was stay in touch with him that way to kind of get more information for Freedom, because the stuff that he told me is kind of blow my mind. And I say, first I thought, like, is that true or not? So I try and verify, try and make sure I'm not going to the rabbit hole or not.
So did he mention Freedom Law School to you?
No, he didn't. I pretty much just searched on my own.
Okay. So you went online and searched us on your own. But I would like to be in touch with him.
Yeah.
What is his website?
His website is freedomradio.us.
Okay, freedomradio.us. Cool. It'd be good to get in touch with an old friend of mine. Very good, Kai.
Oh, I didn't know that. Awesome.
Help you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've been watching. This is my first time calling you, Freedom Al. Since I visit your website, so I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos, trying to get educated. So. I know there's no law requiring people to file individual tax return at 1040 specifically, and I had a 1040 in front of me, just kind of get familiar. So my question is, when do you actually, I know it's confession form, but when do you actually need to file it? Because when I see the 1040, you know, they say, and besides wages, that, you know, you get social security benefits, blah, blah, blah. If you do receive, I don't have that, but if you do receive it, I mean, do you need to fill it out, I mean, to remain compliant? Or that's where my confusion at in terms of interpretation of law.
You do receive wages. Yes, but where? In Egypt? Japan?
No.
Washington,
D.C.? I don't live in D.C. I don't live in D.C. and I'm not a federal employee, so obviously the wages are excluded. But
America is not a country. America is a union of 50 countries in a union where they have a 51st country. The federal government in Washington, D.C. has been delegated certain powers by the states, you see. So the Interimity Code is written primarily for Washington, D.C. and Washington, D.C. related activities and jobs and functions. So it doesn't apply to someone in Japan or France or Egypt or Florida.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's the key. Doesn't matter if it's wages or commissions, business income, capital gains. It doesn't matter because they're not from Washington, D.C. or D.C. related. That's what that is.
So for clarity, so you tell me that the Internal Revenue Code is written for people, or the federal employees performing function or live in D.C. for D.C., District of Columbia only?
This is written primarily for people who are citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and people who work for the federal government, bureaucrats.
So if you're not those two, then basically you pretty much, even though you receive income or interest, because in the tax code, they don't define income. They define taxable income, which is defined as gross income.
Wait. You're getting all you're confusing yourself right off the bat. Let me stop you. I'm sorry. Look.
Okay. No problem.
You could have income in Egypt, literally in Egypt. You could have get a job in Egypt, okay?
Okay.
And get paid $50,000 in wages. You can have some commissions paid to you in France. But that has nothing to do with America, United States. You don't owe income tax on that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't relate. Your geography matters. How about the people who live in Egypt and France? They have wages. They have
commissions.
Do they owe income tax? Or they have wages. I have commissions. Okay, but you're not within the United States, which means Washington, D.C. You've got to remind yourself of that key thing. You know, I show you on my presentations, okay?
Okay. Another quick question, if you don't mind. The reason I was confused, because, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube lawyers, you know, we talk about, you know, business entity, stuff like that. That's why I'm trying to go through the law and try to get clarification. So in terms of business entity, if you make income, I know you told me you should clarify that, you know what I mean? In the U.S., defined by District of Columbia, according to the Internal Revenue Code. So if you have business entity that produces income through that, do you have to file business income tax? Of course, it's a simple question.
The answer again is no. As long as your corporation or a trust entity is not from the United States, as defined in the Internal Revenue Code, which means Washington, D.C., that corporation or entity does not owe income tax any more than a corporation or a business from France, Egypt, or Germany.
Hmm.
Okay? As you remember, Andre, let me show you online. Look and see. You got to hear this.
Okay.
Type it on your computer, 26 U.S.C. section 7701, house.gov, just like I did right here. 26. You can do it on your own. 26 space USD space 701 space house.gov. You get it right here. This is the website of the council, lawyers of the U.S. House of Representatives. They published the law for everybody to follow. And it tells you right there, here it is, from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, right?
Okay.
Definition, section 701. When used in this title, right, fine. These terms, like as we go down, I'll show you. Here's the term, United States. The state, which you know, United States means, you know, states and District of Columbia. And the state means also the District of Columbia. So it's District of Columbia plus District of Columbia is still the same, only District of Columbia. Then you go down and look at the terms domestic and foreign. And I covered here. Domestic, what does domestic mean? Domestic, when applied to corporation, means created, created or organized in the United States, which means Washington, District of Columbia, or under the laws of the United States, or under the laws of District of Columbia, or of any state, or, again, under laws of District of Columbia. You see?
I see that.
Columbia, then you have to pay income tax. And how about the word foreign corporation? Well, foreign, when applied to corporation, means a corporation, a partnership, which is not domestic, which means it is not from
the District
of Columbia, not from District of Columbia. Yep.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay.
Follow the language.
So, when it comes to the taxes from the IRS, pretty much you have to follow the definition. That's a key. Because the reason I say that because when I listen to like a lot of tax lawyers, tax accountant, you know what I mean, and you know, after they're trained to follow the law, but what you're teaching me and look through the law is like I say, hold on a second, which one's correct? You know what I mean? I understand.
Go to the law from government's unofficial website. Listen. This is, again, U.S. code.house.gov. Okay, this is the website of the U.S. House of Representatives lawyers. This is the official source of law. Published. It says it right here. prepared by the Office of the Law Revision Council of the United States House of Representatives. These are lawyers of the U.S. House of Representatives. These are like a priest of the system who's publishing a law for everybody to follow. You go directly to their website, to the priests of the system.
Okay.
So there's sources they say, doesn't matter. And in my presentation, you see I have the U.S. Supreme Court says that these definitions are binding. Look, let me give an example. Did you guys know, all of you, that I'm a very progressive, liberal, gay man? Oh, yes.
No, I didn't know that.
I'm extremely progressive. You see, humanity has made progress to freedom over the course of centuries. Now, we're surrounded with the satanic socialism and communism, central control and mass slavery of humanity. God wants to go out there, be free all over the earth, lots of land out there, lots of land, empty land, be free and responsible, living a good, loving life based upon love of truth. Instead, the satanic central control, socialism, communism, okay, they label that as progress. No, that's regress. We are going back to slavery. They're not progressives. They are regressing us back into slavery. So I'm the progressive guy. I'm about progress of man, advancement to freedom, independence, technology. That's advancement. Now, as far as being liberal, yes, I'm also very liberal, which means I'm a generous person. I like to share. I like to help you. I won't give you the benefit of the doubt. Liberal means generous. Give me a liberal portion of that piece of cake. Right? But they define liberal to be their communist, socialist, the society and community through the central authority runs you. That's not liberal. They're not liberals. I am liberal. So they're not liberal and they're not progressive. They are actually communist, regression back to slavery. This is how I define things, right? Third, I'm also a very gay man. Gay means happy, not homosexual. I'm not homosexual. I'm straight. I'm married with children. No homosexual tendencies. I'm not homo, but I'm gay, happy. See, it's how you define things. So define homosexuality as being happy. I mean, all medical studies have shown, psychological studies, on the average, straight people are happier than homosexuals. That's just a fact. It's a medical scientific fact. Okay? So what they're promoting, LGBTQ, homosexuality, they're promoting, they call it gay but not. They're promoting that, you know, socialism and communism, they call it liberal. They're not. They're actually very totalitarian, controlling. They're not, they're not generous. They're very dictatorial against you. And what they call progress is actually regress. So it's all about how you define things, my friend, the whole thing. That's how satanic deception works. Once you know the love of truth and look, oh, wow, yeah, definitions are key, then you see the whole thing makes more sense for you. Okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks very much, Payon.
My pleasure. Any other questions, folks? You have any questions, guys? Guys, any more callers? No. Erica 505 caller is gone. He's still there, but he's not answering. Well, let's try again. We're going to give one more try. The call for Miracle 505. If you're there, call for Miracle 505. You come give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, my friend. Okay, looks like he's not there. Or you can press 1 on your keypad so we know we have a question. Call from Erico 505. If you have a question, push 1 on your telephone keypad. Yeah. Okay. So let me remind you guys, folks, next week there'll be no live presentation. There'll be recording talking about Erwin Schiff, the late, great Erwin Schiff, the author of the book Federal Mafia, and many other great freedom books, okay, he wrote. the greatest champion of tax freedom, tax honesty in the history of the movement. He's a friend of mine going back to 1996. I'll do a remembrance about him and put it out next week. There'll be no live question and answer session. So with that, folks, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, folks. Year 2022, folks, should be a year of progress for America. You know, we are going to be educating and reaching more people to help them live free with knowledge, with love of knowledge. So with that, I give you my love, and I wish you all joy and happiness this Christmas and Happy New Year.